Time now for World Sport from the BBC with me, Richard Fleming. Coming up, Diego Maradona's contract as Argentina coach will not be renewed, whilst here in London...
With 2 years to go, it's now almost over to the public. We want them to start planning their games.
Yes, London marks the two-year countdown to the 2012 Olympic Games, and Sri Lanka's cricketers remain firmly in control at the second test against India. First, though, it was expected, it's been confirmed in the last few hours, that Diego Maradona will no longer continue as Argentina coach after the association's executive committee unanimously agreed not to renew his contract. The 49-year-old had said he would sign the contract as long as his entire backroom staff were retained. Well, of course, Argentina went out of the World Cup at the quarter-final stage after a 4-0 drubbing by Germany. South American football expert Tim Vickery admits things are never dull where Maradona's involved.
I think this is high intrigue and high politics because Maradona was obviously weakened by that 4-0 defeat to Germany. So the Argentinian FA, they offered him a new 4-year contract to take him up to the 2014 World Cup. But it seems there were strings attached. There were conditions there that Maradona would be forced to change some of his backup staff, to change some of his assistants, perhaps listen to someone of more experience. Now, I think the Argentinian FA knew when they drew up these conditions that Maradona simply wouldn't accept them. He's not the kind of man who likes to be dictated to. So it could well be here that Maradona has been forced out. It was fun while it lasted, 637 days, but it's come to an end today. Now, it looks as if Sergio Batista, he was a World Cup winner, big bearded midfielder from the 1986 squad. He's currently the under-20 coach. It looks like he'll be a caretaker manager for that game on August the 11th. Whether he's the full-time candidate, we'll have to see. One of the other candidates to become the full-time coach of Argentina, Alejandro Sabella, once of Sheffield United and Leeds United, now the coach of Estudiantes, he could well come into the fray. But all will be revealed in the next few days. And one thing which will certainly be revealed in the next few hours is the response of Diego Maradona, because I'm sure he'll have something to say, and I'm sure he'll give a press conference when his view of events will be placed before the world.
On to other football matters. The Liverpool manager Roy Hodgson says the Spanish international Fernando Torres has confirmed his intention to return to the club on Monday and wants to remain at Anfield. The strike has been the subject of transfer speculation, this after the Merseyside club failed to qualify for this season's European Champions League.
He's looking forward to coming back here. He's back on Monday. He's enjoying a holiday, which is a well-deserved break, I think. I don't think he's had one for 3 years. He's spending a lot of time with his family. As far as I know, he's keeping a very low profile and not really speaking to anybody, but he has told us that he's looking forward to Monday, looking forward to getting back to work, looking forward to playing for Liverpool next season. That's what I know, so all other reports I would suggest are erroneous.
Now, with exactly 2 years to the start of the 2012 Olympic Games, London has marked the occasion by launching the volunteer programme, opening the first souvenir store and throwing open some of the venues to star athletes, like the 400-metre world record holder Michael Johnson, who had a run-out in the Olympic Stadium.
Great to be in the stadium and to, you know, envision what's going to be taking place in a couple of years. And I mean, the excitement's building, and it's great for these kids that have taken part today, and they're excited about the Olympics. We're all very excited. People want to be able to feel a part of the Games. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I had that opportunity in 1996 when Atlanta hosted the Games. It was great for the home crowd to be able to come in and experience it. You know, there's so much history behind the Olympics, and when, you know, people here in London will get an opportunity to just go to an event, take part, say they took a part in it, and, you know, they'll have that memory for the rest of their lives.
Well, the BBC's Olympic correspondent Gordon Farker was at the Olympic Stadium. Adi Adedoyin spoke earlier to Gordon and began by asking if the stadium and the other venues will be ready on time.
Well, it's scary whenever you come here. I'm scared for them because there seems to be so much work still to do. But yet every time you come here with a 3-month gap in between, I suppose that's roughly what I've been over the last 2 years. Huge more venues coming out of the ground, progress everywhere you look. The venues themselves, they're pretty good. They're not dressed as they will be in games time. There isn't that kind of final finish to them. But nonetheless, they're coming out of the ground rapidly because in a year's time or so, you know, they are going to have to be using them for test events. And for, you know, everybody concerned with making this project work is relieved at the way they're coming out of the ground, not least Lord Coe, the LOCOG chairman.
The venue is, well, structurally it's all but complete. We've got a lot of work, obviously, to fit it out, but... You know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago when we were standing here surveying basically a site of desolation that within 5 years we would have done pretty much most of the regeneration and all the venues would be within a year of completion. I'd have taken your money.
Well, Gordon, Lord Curragh seems happy with the progress so far, but what about the budget? Because there have been concerns that the Games are going over budget.
Yeah, people have been worried about that for some time. I think there's really been a bit of a misunderstanding about the budget from the very beginning. People look at what was originally written in the bid book, and they look at what it's going to cost them now, and they see the huge difference. But in reality, the project has changed hugely from when it was first specced out and given to the IOC as a project, because now this is really all about the regeneration of a large part of a rundown area of East London, and that's why the costs are as they are. In actual fact, it would appear that the Olympic Delivery Authority are well on target to come in under budget. So I think really, the idea that it's going to be a big cost overrun is something of the past. And I think the confidence now is, in fact, they'll be able to save money on it.
On to athletics now. The European Championships are taking place in Barcelona. The first track final has resulted in a gold and silver for Britain. The BBC's athletics correspondent Mike Costello reports.
Britain's Mo Farah was a clear leader on the rankings list coming into the championships, and he underlined his status with a last lap surge that no one outside of Africa could have matched. After a slow early pace, he and his compatriot Chris Thompson took hold of the race in the second half, and although they were threatened at times, they found the strength to complete a British 1-2. Farah's gold was the first ever for Britain in the 10,000 metres at these championships. The first medal on the infield in the women's shot went to Belarus and Nadzeya Ostapchuk with a best throw of 20 metres 48 centimetres, and it's building up to a fascinating showdown in the men's 100 metres. The young Frenchman Christophe Lemaitre led the qualifiers into the semi-finals. Britain's Dwayne Chambers, who's beaten Lemaitre earlier this season, was second quickest.
India have it all to do when day three of the second cricket test against Sri Lanka in Colombo gets underway in a few hours from now. The tourists will resume at 95 without loss. That's replying to Sri Lanka's mammoth first inning score of 642 for 4 declared. With a look ahead to day three, here's Roshan Abhisinghe.
India's first target is bound to be the follow-on mark of 443 when play resumes on day three. On a pitch still looking very good, the inexperienced Sri Lankan attack is bound to be tested fully by the Indians. For India, their strong and experienced batting lineup will be expected to match its Sri Lankan counterparts with a good performance, while the central attraction in the Sri Lankan bowling attack will be Ajanta Mendis. With the pitch expected to be slower, bowling once again is bound to be fully tested, and the chances are that run-making will continue. With three full days of play remaining, the third day could be very likely the decisive day of a rather one-sided test match so far.
Now, the Ashes series in Australia at the end of the year is very much on the minds of England cricketers, despite the four-test series against Pakistan starting on Thursday here in England. Paul Collingwood's admitted that the team has talked openly about this series that lies in wait down under.
We'd love to see it in the back of their minds, and we 100% concentrate on this series. I think we want to win during the series, there's no question about that, because what we want to do going into the Ashes is be as confident as possible, and I think it's crucial that we play a good brand of cricket that we've played over the past, as I said, 18 months. We approach it in exactly the same way as that we've done the last 18 months, and then hopefully when that Ashes does eventually come around, we've been waiting for it a long time, but we're in the best position we can possibly be in, and that's in a confident mood, happy with how everybody is playing, and we've got a full squad of players, 15 or 16 players, which we are beginning to get now, that if we do get an injury or anything like that, they can come in and perform well.
Before we go, a reminder that Diego Maradona's reign as Argentina coach has come to an end. The Argentine FA has decided not to renew his contract, and that's the latest BBC Sport.